It's a fantasy sports day. Chris, Meany, Ashley docking here for yet another day of some fantasy sports chat. Barely made it with that cough right before we came on air.
Seconds before, yeah.
Nearly died. Was about to just roll my chair off and be like, Chris, you got this from the beginning of the show.
I was a little nervous there for you.
Are you nervous for the Super Bowl game? I'm nervous.
No nerves.
Because I have really high expectations and I feel like the point total prediction is almost 60 points. I think it's like 58.8 the last time I checked, something along those lines. And I feel like it can't possibly live up to the hype.
Oh, I think it's going to be one of the best Super Bowls ever.
Do you think it's going to be a shootout?
Yeah, I was on Morenci Unfiltered yesterday, and he's given all these stats about, you know, last time the line was at least 58, it's played to the under, you know. I don't care about that stuff.
Okay.
I care about right now in the moment. I care about how good that Atlanta offense is and Tom Brady, and I think it's going to be a shootout.
Two things.
Yes.
Gabe, if you don't have me on your show and you keep having Chris on your show, I'm going to be very hurt, personally offended. Second of all,
sorry, Gabe.
I know you talked about the Atlanta offense, but Bill Belichick was doing a press conference. There's a ton of events leading up to the Super Bowl, a lot of media involvement. We have a clip from that, actually, and he said Atlanta is a great team, but as a matter of fact, it's their defense that he seems to be a little bit concerned about because they are formidable. They get the offense of the opposing team into some jam. So here's what he had to say about that.
They do a great job of, getting you into long yardage situations. They're very quick. They're active up front. And then they can rush the passer. They turn the ball over. They strip it well. So, the reason we didn't score points in those games that you referenced was because we didn't deserve to. We weren't good enough to. So we have to find a way to do better than that. Certainly, we don't want to, play this game from, 24-0 or 24-3 or something like that. You know, where Green Bay ended up last week. That's, we got to avoid that. It'd be a long night if we don't.
It will be a long night if they don't. Green Bay definitely found themselves in a jam, basically pointing to the fact that his offense needs to be efficient, they need to be effective, and it's interesting because, everyone calls the Falcons' defense fast, really aggressive, very physical, and they are very good at limiting the long ball, and by that I mean passes 11 yards or more. They're seventh in the league, while Tom Brady is the first in the league, the best at throwing the long ball and getting completions on those kind of plays, so it's going to be really interesting.
It's so interesting, Ashley, because you have the number one scoring offense going up against the number one scoring defense. And if you look at all the quarterbacks, that the Patriots have played, they haven't been a lot of good ones. I know last week Big Ben was able to throw 300 yards, but it's those big plays. It's when you're in the red zone scoring and getting a touchdown. And then we have a clip from Matt Ryan, and Matt Ryan just basically trying to figure out exactly what the Patriots defense is going to do.
You never really know which way they're going to go. They've done a great job at mixing things up all season. I think that's one of the things that New England does extremely well is plan week to week, and they can look very different on film week to week. As far as what we've seen this year, it's been a little bit of both. I think it depends on the personnel you're going against. If people really trust their secondary, I think they'll try and take away the run game. And maybe if they don't, they're going to try and take away some of those explosive plays that you might get with Julio. But we've kind of seen a little bit of both all year.
So he doesn't know.
He seems confused, doesn't he? Maybe they're going to do this. Maybe they're going to do that. It's anybody's best guess what Belichick is going to plan. Yeah. I mean, they do a good job of, he does a good job of taking away the opposing team's best player.
Yeah.
And that's Julio Jones. No doubt he's the best player in this football game. I mean, quarterbacks aside. But so he's just a lot of guessing there what they're going to do. It's going to be a fun game.
Bill Belichick has a reputation for being a master planner for a reason. And he's had 2 weeks to prepare for the Atlanta Falcons. So there's definitely going to be some trickery. No trickery from Larry Fitzgerald, though. We were wondering if he was going to retire, if he was going to call it a career, even though he had his second consecutive 100 reception, 1,000 yard season. The touchdowns did take a little bit of a hit, but there is someone named David Johnson on their team, and that probably changed things
just
a little bit in their game planning. So he's coming back, Larry Fitzgerald, and NFL Network said that Larry Fitzgerald and Carson Palmer are kind of tied at the hip, a little bit of best friends going on. So he said that with Fitzgerald returning, it really is encouraging and makes people think that Carson Palmer will return to the fold as well.
Yeah, as a football fan, I'm so happy to. I mean, Larry Fitzgerald's one of the best wide receivers I've ever seen. Just amazing hands, and you said it right there. I agree with that. Is Palmer, this probably means Palmer's going to come back. And no doubt that they were talking to each other like, okay, one more year, one more year. There's a lot of things that happen in Arizona. We talked about them earlier about being a Super Bowl contender. Offensive line was depleted. You know, things didn't work out Palmer's way. He didn't have a great season, but awesome that we're going to see Larry Fitzgerald again. I mean, 2 years ago was a career year basically for him, and he could still play another few years.
You going to be down on him this year in drafts?
No, people will be, but in PPR formats, I won't be down on him. Yeah. I know a lot of people like Pat Mayo and Jake Seeley say, you know, he's the best guy to draft and then flip halfway through the year because he seems to just kind of
decline a little bit. Yeah.
But I'm not worried about that. He's one of the more consistent wide receivers out there.
All right, I like it.
Yeah.
I also really like Ken Hitchcock, and he's very consistent, but he's been, Chris, I was trying to be sentimental. He gone.
Future Hall of Famer.
He is. He got fired after 5.5 years with the St. Louis Blues, and he had a winning record. He's nearly like 100 games over 500, but this year the Blues are struggling a little bit, and they decided to make a change. I know that the plan was for Mike Yeo to come in, kind of get the feel of the franchise and take over next year, but they've accelerated that process.
Yeah, they have. It was a weird, that's just a weird situation too, to bring in another coach who has had experience with the Wild before, some good runs with Minnesota, and then just know that he was, you know, going to be gone. And it's got to be weird for Mike Yeo too. It'd be like, do I want to coach this team my way? I don't want to coach them your way. Anyways, it's, they speeded up the process. You look at the Blues and you just look at one reason why they're struggling, and it's in goal, it's goaltending. It's Jake Allen. I mean, Jake Allen over the last month has an 8.11 save percentage on the year. It's 8.95. He's been awful. 4.96 goals against average over the past month. He's been pulled numerous occasions. But the Blues are only 2 points behind Calgary in playoff spot, 3 games in hand. Yeah. So I expect them, this is go time now. We're in the second half of the season. They have terrific players. They'll be fine.
Taking on the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. We'll see what that means fantasy-wise if you want to target that game, if you want to stay away from that game. We're going to have your buddy, Neil Parker, coming on the show. He's going to talk a little bit about DFS plays, and we're going to definitely touch on that situation because Mike Babcock said he reached out to Ken Hitchcock, and he said that when they're playing them tonight, it's going to be a whole new bunch of players. People are going to be reinvigorated. They're going to be trying to vie for time because there's a new coach. There's new favor to be won. So it'll be interesting to see how this season
finishes
up.
Yeah, Team Canada buddies for sure. They're on the coaching staff for numerous years. And to that point, Toronto switching up their lines basically for the first time all year. And Babcock said he didn't know. As of yesterday, he's like, I don't know if the lines will be what they were at practice, but I knew that I didn't want to start practice yesterday the way that we played against Dallas because it was pitiful. So maybe we'll do some changes on both sides tonight.
Can't wait to hear what Neil has to say about that. But just before we go, some real life news.
Yes.
Fantasy Aces, a DFS company, has declared for Chapter 7 bankruptcy. Well, filed for Chapter 7 bankruptcy. It's alleged that they had been using player funds to run their operations. So they filed a 90-page document. You can find it online. LegalSportsReport.com does have a portion of this report. Basically, it outlines that they have $1.8 million in assets. They have $3 million in liabilities, and they are owed, they owe players $1.3 million to various user accounts, and they also referenced a Bank of America account that was supposed to be the money for users. And when you play on DFS websites, the sites are supposed to hold your money in trust, and it's not supposed to be touched. It's just there for ins and out purposes. That's it. They apparently were using those funds, allegedly, and their Bank of America players account has just over $2,400 in it, even though, as I mentioned, they are said to owe $1.3 million to users.
Yeah, crazy. I mean, Fantasy Draft, there was reports last month that Fantasy Draft was going to team up with Fantasy Aces. Yeah. They pulled out. I mean, I guess this is why they pulled out, so that's it.
FSTA President Paul Charchian has suspended their FSTA membership as well. We'll be back on FST after this with some NHL DFS. Fantasy Sports Today, and as we talked about for a few days actually this week, there was a big draft, a baseball draft at the FSTA conference in Nashville. Chris was there. We talked about his team. We talked to Derek Van Riper yesterday, and today we're upping the stakes. Greg Ambrosius joins us. He's the FSBC founder, and he was also at the draft, NFBC, excuse me. He was also at the draft, and we want to talk about your team, Greg. How's it going?
Everything's great. Nashville was was a lot of fun. It was great seeing everyone.
Yes, it was great to meet you, Greg. And before we get into your team, let's talk about the strategy. You've been involved in this draft for a long time. We talked on Fantasy Sports Radio Network how it's changed. Tell us, tell Ashley, tell the viewers at home how this draft has changed. Maybe last year to this year, did your strategy change at all?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, we were really trying to pound the power statistics if we could. As we know, in the last year and a half, you know, baseball has been flying out of parks at a record pace. So we assume that's going to continue this week or this year. So we're definitely pounding power. We're looking for home runs early on. As we know, with this group of owners, they kind of hold off on starting pitchers. I mean, eight of the top 50 picks were starting pitchers. In the NFBC, you're usually seeing 12 to 13 starting pitchers. So we held off a little bit there. And again, we wanted to pound strikeouts. You're going to need about 1,400 strikeouts to compete in that category. So we went heavy in the starting pitchers, guys like Darvish, Cueto, Hamels, guys who can get us 200+. So that was kind of our strategy early on.
Yeah, well, Chris was saying that too about the strikeouts. Actually, he did some math. He's at 1,700. Greg, you better watch out. Wow. My partner's coming for you and the title.
I don't know if I have as much power as Greg, though.
Yeah. Sorry for like the thinly, non-thinly veiled threat.
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, it's going to be very tough to get as many home runs as you want, as many stolen bases as you want, as many strikeouts as you want. You're just going to have to realize you try to get as much as you can on draft day, and then you have to be very active during the season because that's how you're going to fill in some of those statistics.
Yeah, a lot of people fall asleep during the season. So here, let's take a look at your team right now. We have the board up. You went with Chris Bryant early and Edwin Encarnacion next. As you talked about power, I'm imagining that is the sole reason that you wanted Edwin on your team.
Yeah, I mean, again, we're looking for like 325 home runs. So we, out of 14 positions, you're going to need 20+ out of some guys and maybe 40 out of some. So we jumped in Encarnacion, probably a couple of spots, but we really feel like Bryant and Encarnacion, I mean, we're looking at almost 80 home runs right off the bat. Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about you, Darvish, because you mentioned, you know, pitching doesn't normally typically go, they don't go that early in the first few rounds. You mentioned, you know, eight or so in the first 50 picks. But you, Darvish, there seems to be some value here with him. Do you think he can get back to, you know, pre-Tommy John?
Well, he definitely looked good during the second half when he did come back. I didn't see any problems at all with him. He looked healthy. So, you know, could we get 250 strikeouts out of him? Maybe that's asking too much, but certainly 200 out of Darvish. And I think this is a winning team. This is a guy who's got a chance to get 16, 18 wins as well. So we felt that he was good value. His ADP is 38 in the NFBC, so he's going a little bit earlier than we got him here.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that there are no complications 2 years removed from surgery. Chris was saying before we came on air that they did it the right way. They eased him in so they could use him later on in the season instead of kind of messing with his pitch counts and his innings later when they might have needed him. And their general manager, John Daniels, said that they are interested in contract extension talks, which to me means that the club has a lot of faith in him. And you said just now that, you know, they're one of those good organizations. So I think that is a vote of confidence.
I like all of it. I wish you were sitting next to me at the draft table. I would have felt even more confident taking Darvish there. But no, I agree with you there on all of that. And then to get Cueto after that, we really felt like we had a 1-2 punch there with a lot of strikeouts. So again, really like that. Got a lot of home strikeouts that you're going to have to hit. 1,400 is a huge number in my book. 1,700 is even more. But definitely in that range is what you got to be looking for this year.
Do you think Matt Moore can contribute to that as well? I mean, when we saw him move. And sometimes, Greg, we see this, and I know I talked to you about this before, when National League pitchers go to American League or American League go to National League, especially when American League pitchers go to the National League parks, you see a bit of a boost in some of their strikeout numbers. Do you think that will be the case with Matt Moore?
Well, he definitely looked more comfortable when he was pitching in San Francisco, especially his playoff outing. He looked very, very good. I mean, you know, I would love to have all National League starting pitchers because their ERAs are about a half a point lower than the American League guys. It doesn't always work out that way, but I do like getting as many National League starters as possible. Moore going there seemed to be good value there, a guy who could definitely strike out 180+. So I do think he's going to have a better year in San Francisco. That park just allows him to keep the ball down and to get better results.
When I see Edwin Encarnacion, I think of the Blue Jays. Of course, he's just leaving this year for the first time in a long time. But you also have Jose Bautista. And I'm wondering if you think that narrative plays into performance. And in Jose Bautista's case early last year, he said, this is my number. These are the amount of years that I want from the Toronto Blue Jays. If they're not willing to meet me there, I don't want to talk about it till after the season. Went on the free agent market, tested the waters. Things were very cold. Ended up coming back to the Jays, signing for just over $18 million, I think. He's going to be bitter. His pride's got to be hurt. So do you think that this is either a boom or bust kind of situation for him? He's either going to be off the charts or maybe just fall into that old man rhetoric.
Yeah, it's really weird how Major League Baseball teams did not pay for power this offseason. Yeah. You saw a lot of guys, Mike Napoli, and now you got Chris Carter, who may have to go to Japan after hitting 41 home runs. So people, there's a lot of guys who are hitting 20 to 30 home runs right now, and so the owners just did not pay for the power. I agree with you. I think Bautista thought he was going to be getting an $80 million contract. Mm-hmm. He said he's playing for a one-year contract again. So he's got a lot to prove. But again, he's got to get that batting average up there. We tried to stay away from guys that did not hit, you know, for at least 260, 270. His batting average was weak last year, but the power is still there. I think Bautista's got a lot to prove. I'm glad he went back to Toronto, and I'm glad we got him in the eighth round, which I think was really a bargain. I'm surprised even our guys held off as long as they did on Bautista.
Fun fact about his contract, there's actually bonuses tied into Blue Jays' attendance records.
Oh.
He gets bonuses for every 100,000 up to a certain point.
Well, good for him. All right, cool.
I don't know. That's actually add that in there.
That is dig the long ball, you know that. So you ought to be getting all the female attendance, that's for sure.
Ash is going to go. Is he going to contribute to that 100 grand?
I have no comment on this. Gentlemen, please. I'm a professional.
Greg, we got about a minute. You mentioned Mike Napoli. This guy is without a home. 18th round for a guy who hit 34 home runs last year. There's nobody I see in the 18th round and past who can do this. He doesn't have a team. He doesn't have a home right now.
Right.
Where do you think he'll go? And, you know, does it even matter for you? I guess hopefully not to Japan.
Well, no, definitely Texas. I mean, if he landed in Texas and played first base there, that park would be ideal for him. Obviously, you can hit him out of any park, but I would love to see him go to Texas. That would be a great landing spot. And you're right. I mean, people held off. I think once he signs, he's going to go higher. I think the unknown just made him stay out there for as long as he did. And again, his batting average needs to improve. We can't have sub 240 next year. Or this year. So Napoli seems to be a good bargain, but again, let's get that batting average up to be even more valuable.
Well, speaking of value, Greg, your time, very valuable to us. Thank you so much for joining us. We got to get out of here, but we really, really appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me. Good luck this baseball season.
Take care. Yeah,
you too.
Too,
Greg.
Yeah, he's right on about the Rangers. That's the rumor, of course.
Yeah.
They're saying that they're waiting until the 14th of February to sign him because then they can put some players on the DL, like Prince Fielder, neck surgery.
Yeah, and he's been he's been to Texas for it. Knows what it's all about. So
yeah.
I mean, that would be a great signing. He's got tremendous power.
Great signing for us, Neil Parker.
Ooh,
he's
going to
join us. That NHL DFS I promised you. It's actually coming up next. Maybe.
We'll see.
This is Fantasy Sports Day. Time for some NHL DFS with Neil Parker from RotoWire. And he's got the professional setup behind him. Looking good over there, Neil.
Yeah, thanks a lot. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, let's get right into
get
it,
right
Neil.
In.
Eight games on the ice. You know what? Shane Gostisbehere, healthy scratch tonight. Roman Josi could return tonight. Alex Galchenyuk expected to return tonight. Morgan Rielly expected to return tonight. There's some news off the top, but we want to know, what goalie are you going to play tonight?
Yeah, well, I'm definitely eyeing Corey Crawford at Arizona. I think it's a high floor play. The Coyotes are definitely a ripe opponent for a slump-busting matchup for both Chicago and Crawford. Chicago lost three straight. Crawford's in need of that soft matchup because he's only posted a 901 save percentage and 3.08 goals against average over his past 12 games. Coyotes are generating the seventh fewest high-danger scoring chances per 60 minutes and second fewest goals per game in the league. So hopefully Crawford's poor recent form drives down his ownership a little bit, and he's a really valuable play.
Ken Hitchcock.
He gone.
Thank you. I was trying to be all sentimental about it earlier, and Chris just gave like the old, he gone, he's not here, but he isn't. And things move on, and they move on quickly. They're in action tonight. St. Louis taking on Toronto. Mike Babcock said he expects St. Louis to come out like a totally different team. Do you think this actually impacts their play, and how do you see this one playing out?
Well, I mean, obviously, their historically bad goaltending isn't going to change overnight. Vladimir Tarasenko, on the other hand, is definitely really tough to project anything negatively towards him over the past 3 years. The 25-year-old winger boasts a second-ranked 1.58 goals, fifth-ranked 3.14 points, and seventh-ranked 11.5 shots per 60 minutes among all skaters at least 3,000 minutes. So he's an elite talent, and let's not call the Toronto Maple Leafs a daunting road opponent just yet.
That's fair.
You know, Babcock talked about, you know, juggling his lines a little bit. I guess that remains to be seen. Maybe we'll see Matthews and Marner tonight together. We saw them in Dallas as well. But Tarasenko, do you think he's happy about this change? I mean, we've seen over the past couple of seasons, especially in the playoffs, him and Hitchcock, they haven't seen eye to eye.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I think a change is always a good thing after so long. Sometimes players tune out their coach and, you know, they're too caught up in the systems and things like that. But Tarasenko probably just needs to get away from Yuri Lethair a little bit more. Hopefully spend more time with Robbie Fabry and Jaden Schwartz and really start to move the needle offensively like he's capable more consistently.
All right, let's move on. Jets and Stars. Yeah. Mike Omelon and I talked a lot about the Jets over the past couple weeks. Brian Little, Jacob Trouba. Are these players that you feel comfortable playing at DFS? And we've just been talking about them from a season-long standpoint. They're widely available in leagues, Neil.
Yeah, absolutely. And you had Patrick Laine, Nikolaj Ehlers is lighting it up. Even Andrew Copson playing really well lately. I like Little tonight. He's projected to center Laine and Ehlers, sorry. And he's hot, man. 6 goals, 10 points, 10 shots in his past 6 games. And the Dallas Stars are obviously a challenged club defensively. They've allowed the 4th most goals per game and the 3rd most high danger scoring chances per 60 minutes. Turning to Jacob Trouba, he's been eating more minutes than ever, and he's been dominant. Over the last little stretch, 2 goals, 7 points, 24 shots, and 13 block shots through his past 6 outings. So there's definitely a lot to like about Trouba, too.
All right, well, you like Corey Crawford. He's over $8,000. You like Tarasenko, over $8,000. Things are getting expensive over here, Neil. You only have a certain amount for your budget. So who are your value plays?
Well, I definitely like Cal Yarncroc from the Nashville Predators. They're hosting Edmonton tonight. Yarncroc, you know, you can't be confused as a go-to scorer by any means, but he definitely opens up plenty of cap space with that low salary, sporting a 3-game point streak with 2 goals and 3 assists. He's also projected to center James Neal and Colin Wilson, and that's an intriguing line. As noted, with Edmonton, they still are allowing the 4th most high-danger scoring chances per 60 minutes in the league, so there's definitely some opportunity for Yarncroc to reward on that really low salary. And one more quick one, Thomas Hertl. He's presents nice value. Since entering the league, he's played with Joe Thornton and Joe Pavelski frequently. They've combined for 3.3 goals per 60 minutes while sharing the ice. And Hertl rejoined them Tuesday, notched a goal and 4 assists against Chicago.
Neil, you do some great writing on Roto Wire, and of course some of these players are on there as well. But one guy I guess I'll just throw out there that you didn't write about today is Shane Goss. Spear not going to play tonight. I just want to know what your take is. We got about 30-40 seconds. What's your take on him? Would you cut him in season-long formats?
I mean, off the cuff, it's a team by team, roster by roster, waiver wire by waiver wire decision. If there's a comparable option available, I think that, you know, Gostisbehere's shown that he has a really low fantasy floor right now. However, I still think his ceiling is quite high considering, that number one power play unit's quite lethal. We have seen him take hit in minutes with Ivan Provorov around, though. So I'm up in the air, Chris. It's a team by team situation, yeah. But I wouldn't rule out cutting him if you have a decent option to replace him with.
30 seconds, yes or no, would you drop him for Trouba?
Yes.
Okay.
Easy.
There you
I
go.
Like
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
The test answer correct.
Yeah, the Winnipeg Jets are scoring a pile of goals. Trouba is seeing more and more minutes all the time, and he's a budding star with great pedigree. Quick throw to you. Who's winning the Super Bowl?
Oh, the Patriots.
I want the Falcons, but I think the Patriots.
All right, well, he's cut. Speaking of getting cut, the Falcons.
You?
We'll see you
We're
later.
Out here in 5 seconds. Who's going to win?
Falcons. Let's
Falcons.
Go.
See you, Neil. Bye. Take care, bud.
Thanks a lot, Chris. Thanks, Ashley.